far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, we talk about this year's E3 2018.
If he gets on, we can just still do closing remarks. Or do we want to...
Go ahead. Yeah, I guess so. Sure.
All right. Man, I'm so out of it. All right, yeah.
He's listed as being on Slack and Discord, but he's not in the call.
That's not surprising. All right. I'll just go ahead and just try to get this set up.
Okay.
So, once again, welcome to the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. I am your host, Dustin. With me is my co-host, John.
Yes.
And E3 just happened, and we have some stuff to talk about. I mean, it's not really actually going to be that in-depth, really. So.
Yeah, I mean, this was not a very active year, I feel like, for E3. I think they're working on systems that they're going to unveil next year, and so these systems are nearing the end of their life cycles, and they just don't have much to offer for them, it seems like.
Which is... It's crazy to me, because, like, these are fairly new systems. Like, when did the PS4 come out? It's been out for, what, 4 or 5 years now? And, like, the new Xbox?
I guess so, but, you know, there's, like, 5 years between the N64 and the GameCube, or the... You know, probably the Master and the Genesis was even less years than that, you know.
Oh, that's true. I mean...
These days, they put out, like, a updated version with better graphics every couple of years anyway. So they had, like, PS 4.5 and Xbox One S and One X and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know if any of these were worth buying. I don't have anything from that generation other than... I don't know if Wii U and Switch both count as the same generation as PS4 and Xbox One. I mean, I have both of those, but I don't have a PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah.
I have a 360 and a PS3. That's as much as I have with those.
I mean, what are they going to call the Xbox, the new one, the Xbox 2 or something? Xbox Zero? Xbox Pi? I mean, come on, get real.
That was always a stupid name because it was not the first Xbox. They're calling it Xbox One. It makes it seem like, you know, the PlayStation 1, they retroactively start calling it PlayStation that when the PS2 came out. But now if you say Xbox, people won't know which Xbox you're talking about because people refer to, like, the current Xbox in the shorthand as being, like, the Xbox. And if you say Xbox One, they might think, oh, you're referring to the first Xbox, but no, it's the current Xbox. It's called Xbox One.
Yeah.
The numbering it that way never made sense. It's like how you have, like, 5 different versions of Batman number one. Like, every couple of years, they'll put out, like, a new number one of a comic, and it's like, this is not actually the first issue. Don't call it number one if it's not number one.
So, like, whenever you say Xbox, you have to, like, put the year it was made. Like, no, this is the Xbox, you know, 2002.
And right, like Sonic the Hedgehog 2006, because there's also a Sonic the Hedgehog for...
Yeah,
for Master System and so
Genesis, and that was a much better game.
When they reuse the same names that way,
I just think, like, Microsoft, like, they come up with all this really good You know, I mean, an Xbox is a good product. It is. I mean, I'm not dissing on that whatsoever, but, like, they did not think things through on these names that they have for these systems, whereas Sony was like, look, we're going to number them as they come out. We know what we're doing, which is why I think other systems are probably slightly better than the Xbox, but it all really depends.
Oh, by the way, my dad got a Sega Game Gear at a garage sale the other day with Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
How much did he pay for that Game Gear?
I don't know, like $5.
That's a pretty good deal. I mean, does the LCD screen still work?
I haven't tried using it yet.
Okay.
It takes like 8 batteries or something ridiculous.
Yeah, maybe it's just 4. No, I believe it's 6 AA batteries, because I sold mine in management last year. I had like a carrying case with it and a bunch of games, and I gave it to this like metalhead guy for like $90 or something, so he got a pretty good deal out of that.
It looks like it's like the Switch, where it's like almost too big to be a handheld.
Mm-hmm. It's a black brick that's got a really nice LCD screen on it, because it was trying to compete with the Game Boy. The Game Boy,
they had a backlighting, right?
Yes, the Game Boy, however, didn't have a backlight, but it used up less batteries, and
yeah, they didn't add the larger backlight until Game Boy Advance SP, which was like 2004 or 2005.
But
which is ridiculous that Nintendo didn't do that for so long.
But the Game Boy had a larger library of games to add to it instead of the Game Gear, so the Game Gear didn't last that long. Whereas the Game Boy has been continuous in what it does.
Arguably, the Game Boy line, you know, like the Switch is kind of a continuation of that, because it went from Game Boy to DS to 3DS, and then the current handheld is the Switch, which is also the current console, you know.
Yeah.
The 3DS was more successful than the Wii U was, so they tried to make the Switch more like that than the, you know. So I guess the Game Boy was probably like the most successful line of systems. There's like Game Boy Pocket, Game Boy Micro, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
There's ones that only came out in Japan, I think.
There was the Pokemon 2DSs that came out in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are like exclusive systems or handhelds.
Well, I have the 3DS with the Charizard on it that came with the Pokemon Red and Blue downloads.
Oh, nice.
For the anniversary. That's the new 3DS.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And now they're trying to use Pokemon to sell the Switch with this Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu game. That they're trying to draw it back to Kanto, and I guess for a nostalgic appeal to. And it's supposed to be somehow you can connect with the Pokemon Go app, where you can transfer Pokemon you've caught in that over to the Switch somehow.
That is actually a pretty good idea. You know, it's interesting how they picked Eevee as the other one, but that sort of makes sense because there's so many evolutions on Eevee.
Yeah, well, I guess it's like Ash had Pikachu and Gary had Eevee. Although I don't know if that's... Maybe that was only the case in the manga. I don't remember if he had an Eevee in the anime.
I don't remember him having Eevee in the anime either.
I think Pokemon Yellow he had Eevee, maybe. As a starter.
Man, it's been so long since I played Yellow.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I had in my copy, it was I like left it in my shorts or something, and I went through the washer, and so it got all glitched out a long time ago. I don't know if it still plays or not.
Did you put it in a bag of rice and see if that dried it out?
I don't know. It's probably too late for that. Yeah. It was like 20 years ago.
Oh, well, good luck with that.
But I tried playing Red and Blue a few years ago, I think, and they still had their data, but I know that old Game Boy cartridges, eventually they kind of, like, lose their charge and wipe out your save data.
Well, you gotta get the battery that goes in, and you have to use a tool to take apart the cartridge in order to get the battery out, or however that works, and then you just pop it in there, so then you have a new battery to save stuff, but...
Yeah. There was this game that I got a couple years back. That it was like a Pokemon ripoff. I think it was called Robopon. And it's like has this exceptionally large Game Boy Color cartridge that it has like an additional watch battery that goes in the top part of it.
Okay.
And so I tried to play it, but it wouldn't save. Apparently, the extra battery needs additional charging or something like that, and I never took it out. I guess you can just use a screwdriver to disassemble a Game Boy Color cartridge and find a new battery and put it in there, but I didn't go to that effort of doing that.
Okay. All right. I guess we can start from going through, like, the days from the beginning. I mean, really the first major conference that happened was EA, and that sucked.
I heard they just announced an app or something like that, and it was not very interesting.
I know, like, EA talked about, like, I'm not sure, I think it was Microsoft that focused on Microsoft was on the Forza racing games. EA was just more, like, stuff people already knew. Oh, Robopon, yeah. Okay, now...
See how big it is? Yes. I just posted an image in the chat.
Yeah, I remember seeing that game around. But really the major announcement out of EA is Battlefield 5, which is just them going back to World War II again. I believe, like, Battlefield, when the games first started out, it was, like, the World War II base. Like, there's Battlefield 1942, which were, you know, just solid, you know, pretty shooters at the time. And then it went to, like, the regular Battlefield series, like, 1, 2, 3, and 4, which was, like, you know, more modern. And then they changed it to Battlefield 1, which was World War I combat. And then now we're at 5, which is back to World War II.
They're jumping all around in the timeline.
I think they're more consistent on their timeline than, say, Microsoft, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I took nothing out of EA. I can't really think of anything else. So then Sunday was Microsoft. Okay, so the biggest news for me, like, I was at my Gunna meeting Sunday, and I had the stream going on as I was putting together, like, an Evangelion kit, and the last thing that Microsoft did was to showcase the Cyberpunk 2077 trailer. Which I've been waiting 6 years for new information on that game, because they first announced it like 2012, 2013. And then really nothing's come of it other than just them saying, yeah, we'll finish it when we finish it. Because they spent all that time working on the Witcher games, which is giving them so much daggum money. But that Cyberpunk 2077 trailer, holy crap. Like, I could not be happier.
Yeah. That I saw that trailer. The graphics look pretty good, considering the game has been in development for 8 years or whatever. I guess they managed to keep it up to date, and it doesn't look like an old game like Duke Nukem Forever ended up looking like it did when it started.
I mean, CD Projekt Red is really consistent on, you know, putting out good games after good games, which is like the majority of their money is coming from the Witcher series, which has been really good with them. But dead gum, like, that trailer looked so, like, I was ecstatic for that, but there's no release date, so it could come out maybe late. What I'm assuming is probably either late next year or maybe sometime in 2020. More than likely it might be 2020, I don't know.
Yeah, they didn't have a release date, so who knows?
Yeah, I put it down as Microsoft probably being the best presentation, because they focused just putting out games, like trailers for games.
There was also Battletoads.
Yeah, so new Battletoads, a revamp of Battletoads is coming out. Their biggest thing was the fact that the Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming out for the Xbox, which is like a first ever, because it's always been a Sony title.
And then there was the Dragon Ball and One Piece and Naruto crossover thing where they're all fighting Frieza in a city. I forget what they call it. Jump something. Jump Fight or Jump Smash or something like that.
Jump Force, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not falling all over Jump Force just yet, because, like, it's like, okay, you have like four people in this game, like, there's got to be more if you're going to add Shonen Jump characters, and I hope so.
Yeah, I think they just picked, like, the biggest ones to include in the
trailer. Yeah, which is Bleach, One Piece, and Dragon Ball Z. And then the ending was like the shadow of...
I don't think they had Bleach. I think they had Naruto. But
no, yeah, I meant to say Naruto, my bad. But the
Bleach isn't even that big anymore.
No, that's killed off for good reasons. But anyways, like the final like image on that was like Light and the Shinigami character from Death Note.
Right. That was weird, because like, how are you going to fight with them when all he does is just write things in a book? You know?
Is he going to throw the book at him?
maybe he just like commands the Shinigami, like the Pokemon trainer in Smash Brothers. It's got like the he's got the Pokemon out, and maybe Ryuk will be like hitting people with his scythe and stuff like that. I don't know. He doesn't really do much other than like stand around eating apples in this series, though.
Shinigami, I choose you. Yeah. Attack with an uppercut or temple attacker. Arm rip attack. They have to die because I wrote it in the Death Note. The prophecy must be fulfilled.
That reminds me of Akubar. I used to always go on about how Death Note and Pokemon are intended at the same audience.
What?
Yeah. Well, he would say they're both shonen, so they're both aimed at 6-year-old boys. Like he didn't seem to get that like boy was like kind of a broad spectrum of ages within.
I think
Japan.
I remember those arguments on stupid Toon Zone forums about like what people contest is like the proper age or term for the boy market for Shonen Jump. Because like, you know, obviously people on Toon Zone and their infinite wisdom had this crap already figured out.
You know, they would say stuff like, he was always making threads on there, like, why Shonen Jump manga are for 13-year-old boys, not for you, and
oh God,
then people would get on there, and they would always be like, no, this show really speaks to me, why do you have to take it away like that? And that was something they would always argue about back then.
Worthless arguments.
Yeah.
So Microsoft started out with like a Kingdom Heart, not Kingdom Hearts, excuse me, a Halo. So some new Halo games coming out. They've got like Gears of War stuff coming out. So there's a Gears of War 5 trailer or some sort of promotion video for that. And then they had something with like Gears Funko Pop figures. Like they're making a game off of that.
Yeah, I guess it's like how there's Lego video games now. Funko is getting in on that kind of thing and making games based on their toys, which are based on games.
fancy that. There's really nothing on the gameplay. It was just kind of like a nice little promo trailer for that. Other than that, I can't really... there's another Devil May Cry. So they're doing Devil May Cry 5. Like, apparently, like the guys I was with, they were just like... What? No! There can't be another Devil May Cry 5. That game just needs to end. But I don't know too much about Devil May Cry. Like apparently it's like Dante with like short hair, and then they made a big deal like, oh, Devil May Cry 4 came out 10 years ago, so this is like the next continuation of this. And I'm like, I guess you're right. I guess it has been 10 years since the fourth game came out. Like, holy crap.
Yeah, I've never played any in that series, so it doesn't mean much to me.
Yeah, I've got the first one on PlayStation, maybe the third one, but I haven't gotten around to playing them. I don't know when. They're just kind of sitting there, and we'll probably continue to do so.
It never really surprises me when a sequel gets announced for this sort of thing, when there's already, you know, like 4 games in the series. It shouldn't be that shocking that they're going to make another one.
I think the story, maybe, for Devil May Cry 5 is like it's a prequel before he became Dante or something stupid.
No.
I know nothing, hardly nothing about Devil May Cry games, so...
Yeah.
I'm definitely far and away from the expert of being... to knowing anything about Devil May Cry.
So, what else happened at Microsoft, or are we going to do the next one?
I can't remember. I kind of hit the big ones. It was...
Yeah.
Yeah. So next one is we got Monday, which was Sony as the big one. So, man, well, how do I start this? So, Sony.
I haven't seen any of the trailers from the Sony one because I just didn't hear anything about it that interested me at all. like the only thing that interested me was like the Spider-Man game, but that was already announced last year, so
yeah,
I don't really need to see anything more about it.
Okay, so first of all, with Sony, they set up a venue that looked like some sort of church room or something, or like an old timey like dance hall.
Looked like a tent or something.
Yes. And then they had some old guy out there with a banjo and played it. And everyone's like, oh, man, this old guy's so cool. Let me get some footage of this. And I'm just like, all right, where's this going? And then it takes us to a video of, like, some girl standing by herself at the bar. And then some other girl gets her. And they have a lesbian kiss on the floor. And then it goes into the gameplay, which as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, this is the new Last of Us game. It clearly is the Last of Us. And then they had the title at the end. I was like,
they censored this on Disney XD.
Yes,
the children's Disney channel that has like video game coverage a lot of the time.
Yeah,
and
so
the LGBT people were like, "How could you censor our love to the children?"
Oh my gosh, that's even creepy.
Because you know they want it to be like, you know, they have like they've set up like drag clubs in New York for like 9-year-olds, and they're trying to teach children in California about all the different letters in LGBTQ and make them do homework assignments explaining them all. And
I don't even know anything about comics or crap. Yeah. So, I gotta give it to Disney for the great assistant of parenting, because I'm pretty sure, like, Disney XD probably brings in a lot of Christian conservatives. And, you know, there's Christian parents that are watching E3 with their kids, I'm sure, at their houses. And as soon as they see two chicks making out on the dance floor, they're like, holy crap, we gotta stop this. And Disney just decides, like, you know what, no, mom and dad, we got this from here. We're just gonna fade to a splash screen. You just don't worry about the remote. We'll be back when all this is over. And again, and I'm sure the parents are like, wow, Disney's really looking out for us and our Christian views. Like, I imagine there's those parents out there that were watching this. Now, if this was Spike TV still, they would air the whole thing, of course. Like, no question. Yeah, because that's like...
I remember on Spike TV, they would air all the trailers on Kite. I mean, there'd be, like, someone driving over, like, 100 zombies, and they're bleeding everywhere and stuff. So they...
Oh, yeah.
They had, like, I guess the TVMA rating or something like that. But, yeah, they censored the girls kissing on Disney XD, and so... There's a big outcry on social media.
Oh, of course. But, like, here's the thing, like, yeah, so Sony puts all this effort into that trailer just to prove some point, which I just don't see why. Like, it's some sort of statement they wanted to make. I can't figure out exactly what it's going for. I don't know. Like, I really don't know. But they wasted time to do what they did at the very beginning for Last of Us 2. And then...
So what was the point of the guy with the banjo? Was that like, here's what America used to look like, and here's the new America. Be happy.
I have no idea. Like, I have no idea. It's a crappy art piece that Sony did. Some executive's like, oh yeah, this is such a good idea. We're breaking the boundaries or some bullcrap or whatever. But here's the thing. Like, so you set up this venue... Like, it was way smaller than, like, you know, like, the major theater. And only to show this one trailer of two chicks making out. And then you had to stop the conference or the presentation to shift to another area that takes 25 minutes. Like, you know, like people like us have bedtimes. Like, come on. And then the rest of it from there was already footage of games that we already knew was coming out. There was nothing new released. There was nothing that was going to, like... You know, stop us. Okay, the only new thing I knew about that looked good was Resident Evil 2 Remake. Which I'm pretty tempted to get that.
There was some video game that there was announced to be a pay-to-play online thing, and people got angry about it being like an MMO.
Oh!
The Elder Scrolls game.
Wait. No, I heard about this.
Threatening to kill themselves over it on the 4chan and stuff.
Oh, well, whatever. That's no big loss.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it was.
No, I think I heard about it.
There were also, like, why are there so many anti-Nazi video games they were complaining about? Oh. It's like, have you ever been watching any of these E3s? They're always obsessed with, like, anti-Nazi video games.
I don't know. But,
like Wolfenstein and that sort of thing. I assume there was some sort of rip off of that came out that was announced.
Not that I'm aware of. I know the game you're talking about, but I remember we were talking about it Sunday at the Gunpug group, and I don't remember what the title was. No, Fallout 76. That's it. So Fallout 76 is an MMO game completely, and you might have to pay for it or something. So that's what people are really getting pissed off about. I could be wrong, but I know it's MMO based, and some people just don't want to deal with that. Which
because
I don't think they said it verbatim on if it was
on
an MMO.
Like
I don't know.
People probably don't like that it's. You're not going to be able to play it forever if it's an MMO because you're going to have to rely on servers that will eventually go down. But then there are cases where
they also
have,
paying
private
for the
servers
too,
going.
And you know, paying like your servers cost to keep it up or something.
Yeah,
it's going to be based off of that model, whatever however they run their Elder Scrolls MMO game. So I don't know too much about that. I don't know hardly anything about the Elder Scrolls MMO. Okay, I'm just thinking of the Sony conference. Yeah, it was some, like, they had some, like, weird characters playing instruments, like, in between game trailers. And I don't know why they did it like that. I mean, like, I can't, like, I was like, is this a new game they're going to announce at the end? Nothing leading up to it whatsoever. The other thing was the fact that they were announcing, like, these HD remakes for Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. And then, well, they're supposed to be including this with like this collector's edition. They did put a release date out for Kingdom Hearts 3, which is a big thing. I mean, they also talked about, they had like the gameplay for the new Spider-Man game, which does look really good. I mean, I'll give it that. Death Stranding was really good too. That was another one. We all know it's coming out. There's no release dates for it yet, but. It's just basically like Norman Reedus pulling out a toenail in-game character and, surviving the harsh wastelands of wherever the heck they are, gathering supplies on their backpack or whatever.
Yeah.
What gets me on the Sony conference is I hate these commentators at the end. They would not shut up about The Last of Us 2, like, gameplay. They're like, oh, this gameplay is so good. Last of Us 2. Oh my gosh, what a great presentation. I'm like, you dumbass cucks don't know crap about what you're talking about. And these experts, they're stupid. Like, really, like, you don't see the waste of effort for this art piece that Sony did to, like, you know, oh, let's the show just a game trailer. And I'm like, you could have had two chicks making out in the big theater and didn't have to have some old dude up there with a banjo, like, playing, like, why am I doing here? What was a PlayStation? I'm paid to play the banjo. And he was like, it was really, I thought it was like a Satanist cult thing because he's up there in a black he's up there in a black hoodie and he's got it over his head. I'm like, are we like in a Satanist cult? Like, is this like a, like, what game is this? And then and then it's
Sony
just like
broadcasting on Bohemian Grove.
I didn't know what was going on. I was like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. It was just a waste. Like, yeah, no, Sony sucked big time.
It's Pride Month, so they had to do some sort of Did you see this thing about the KFC not KFC, Chick-fil-A. The Twitter CEO ate there, and then somebody caught him, and they like forced him to publicly apologize.
That's such
for
BS.
Eating at a so-called homophobic restaurant.
It's chicken. Come on.
But the owners are Christian. That's not allowed anymore. We don't have the First Amendment.
Well, according to Twitter, you don't.
According to the Supreme Court, we still do, though. I mean, we've got that decision.
Supreme Court trumps over Twitter rhetoric any day of the week. So, I don't know. I just had like a lot of rant things to say about Sony's panel. Normally, they always run a good panel, but I mean, Microsoft was like, "Hey, we have all these games we're going to show you, and we're going to show stuff." and they did it for like an hour and a half. And, you know, they were like, it was simple. It was so easy to do. They couldn't mess it up. And they really didn't. They didn't do anything stupid and lavish. Like, here's the new Porsche Carrera for the game and the in-game car for like, you know, last year's Forza or whatever that we're going to have.
Had the car show up on the screen.
No, there was no car this year. It was a very simple E3. Uh-oh. And that's why I was like, you know what? Yeah, it's meh, but at least they had like stuff to show and they didn't try to do something stupid. So, anyways. So another big thing was Nintendo. Since you guys pretty much watched that, so what? There's another new Smash Brothers. It's got what, every single character coming out.
Right. That was this morning that they streamed the Nintendo thing, and they started off with a bunch of Japanese games.
Some
of them were subtitled.
Okay.
But they were all like JRPGs. And
okay,
then there was Smash Brothers.
So I had my friend Eric, my buddy Eric was texting me. He's like, dude, you were watching the Nintendo conference? There's an awesome mech game. And I'm like, I know nothing about this because I'm freaking making lunch right now. I haven't gotten around to watching. Like, so there's some like mech game coming out for it. That's supposed to look really good.
That's right.
He's trying to convince me to get a Switch, and I'm... I don't know if I'm there yet.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd recommend it yet.
Like,
at this point,
okay, so like the biggest thing they were showing was the new Smash Brothers game, which is like every character they put out. They got a new one coming out, which is like the guy and the girl from Splatoon,
right?
And they like the thing
from
they get
the Metroid games.
Oh, the Metroid itself isn't this new one.
The Ridley, the big dragon from Metroid games.
Oh, that's when you guys were all like, oh my god, really? He's like best character. I'm like, is this a new fighting game? Like, I have no idea because I was kind of working.
Yeah, you know, he's named after Ridley Scott because there's like a Metroid is really influenced by Alien.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, he's got, you know, he can like fly around and there's like a mod of Smash Brothers Melee or maybe it's Brawl. I think it's Melee, which has Ridley that somebody made. And so there's been like long time demands that this character be included. I think they might have planned to include him in one of the previous games, but he was like too large, but they managed to finally figure it out. And so right after the trailer, they had the Treehouse live streaming thing and they showed off all his moves and they... Mm-hmm. Had him fight Samus and met Mario, and it was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that.
Yeah, and and also the Splatoon, but I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I haven't played those, so I don't care if they added those characters.
My thing on getting the new Smash Brothers is playing as Cloud Strife, because they have like a Limit Breaker thing on there, and I'm just kind of like, I kind of want... The thing with Smash Brothers, like, I wanted to get, like, I think it was Melee or Brawl because it had Solid Snake in it. And
that's Brawl.
Okay, and I wanted to,
and
like...
He's in this one, too.
Yeah, didn't Brawl come out for Wii, or was it for GameCube? Okay, Wii. That's
Melee
right.
Melee was for GameCube.
Okay.
So, and the original for Nintendo 4.
Because I wanted to get a Wii for, like, oh, they got Brawl that can play Solid Snake, but then I realized... I'm not good at these Super Smash Brothers games. I just kind of want to try out how Solid Snake plays. And that's kind of how I feel with Cloud. Is it's like, I want to try out this new Cloud. And maybe... I'm like, it's done convince me to just sit there with the game. I don't know. So, like, I'm kind of maybe on the fence. But then, like, there's this new mech game coming out. And Eric wants me to get a Switch for it. And I'm like, And they have, like, a new Mario Party, which I really couldn't care less about.
Oh, that was announced. I forgot about that already.
Yeah.
I mean, those all look the same, really. Mario Party. I mean, they made basically the same game 10 times.
Essentially, yes. Yeah.
there are a few others they added in Smash Brothers. Daisy and Bomberman. Although, Bomberman, I guess he's not a playable character. He's an assist trophy or something.
Oh.
But I think they should have added him as a playable character. Kind of weird to waste when you've never included him before.
Gotcha.
I feel like there'll be more announced later.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the previous games, they've announced kind of like gradually, they'll do like Nintendo Direct, like one a month until the game comes out, revealing characters. So this isn't necessarily the final roster, although there's so many characters already that I don't know how they can fit that many more. There were over 64 characters. I think there's like 65 when you added Ridley.
Okay. So wasn't the last Smash Brothers game the one they took out like the story mode because they were afraid people were going to stream the game and then leak the story and then no one would want to buy the game or something stupid?
Because that what happened with Brawl, they had the Subspace Emissary where you had all these cutscenes and like an adventure mode.
Yeah.
And where you unlock the characters. And I guess people like live stream themselves playing it on YouTube or something, and then Sakurai got upset about this, and he was like, "Why should I make this if people are just going to get to see it for free?" You know, something like that.
Well, I mean, what's stopping someone from like taping it? And I mean, like, who cares? Like, if people can watch it and then go and play it and experience it for themselves.
Yeah, they're very old fashioned. They don't understand how viral marketing works.
Clearly not.
That's Nintendo.
That's true.
Maybe they've changed their mind with this one. They didn't say anything about that, though. I mean, they pretty much just showed all the characters and introduced the new ones and mentioned like new final attacks and stuff like that. But they didn't really say much about like what the different modes are or anything like that. Like if there's a story mode or, you know, if there's some new other kinds of modes that they've introduced or anything like that. It was kind of just an introduction to all the characters that are going to be in it. And they're bringing back ones that have only shown up once before, like Pichu, it was in Melee, and then none of the other games. He's like the weakest character because whenever he attacks, he does damage to himself as well as the person he's attacking.
Yeah.
So they didn't bring him back for Brawl or for the one for the Wii U.
Okay.
But they brought him back in this one because they wanted to bring back everyone. Because people are complaining, like, why were the Ice Climbers not in the Wii U Smash Brothers? And so they made a big deal about Ice Climbers being in this one.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I haven't really been involved in a Brawl game since, like, maybe the first or second one or something. I mean, that's about it. Oh! Okay, so there was a game that sort of had my interest that I saw briefly of the Nintendo thing. It was, like, SNK Girls or something, like an SNK Girl fighting game. I
must have missed that. They had, like, a section where they showed, like, dozens of games, and they were showing them for, like, a few seconds each.
Yeah.
Okay, I saw like Crash Bandicoot and Dragon Ball FighterZ in there, but other than that, I didn't notice many of them.
Yeah, so they're saying that they're going to get Dragon Ball FighterZ on there. Okay, let's see. SNK Heroines? Oh, wait, this is coming out for PS4, so F it.
Oh, okay.
Why in the heck would I need to freaking get a Switch now if this is going to come out for PS4? That's stupid.
The other things in us, there's like Fire Emblem and
I'm down for an SNK Heroines Tag Team Frenzy game. I will play the heck out of this. This looks like good stuff. So I mean, it's on PlayStation. When does this come out? It just says 2018 release date. I'm probably gonna get this on the market. It's got the cow chick from Rumble Roses in this. And Kalula from King of Fighters. Yeah, I'm going to play this game. Here, I'll post up the link, and then we'll just use this for show notes. Yeah, that was the other one that like briefly caught my eye. I'm like, wait a sec. SNK Heroines. I like SNK games. Why can't there be more of these? But, alas. So the other two conferences I want to bring up was, I mean, do we have anything else to say on Nintendo?
No, what else was there, like Ubisoft or something?
I didn't even watch the Ubisoft one, I just couldn't care less. The other one I was going to mention, the Devolver Digital one that Josh saw.
Oh, that was like a trolling one.
Where yeah, they trolled last year.
Like a completely useless Bitcoin type thing where you buy it and then it doesn't do anything. It's just like, or it's just some digits.
According to Josh, it's worth like 75 on the Bitcoin thing. I know the Bitcoin market is like really tanking right now.
Well, it was like 130 and then it was 150. Like they just have that number randomly change, like the real cryptocurrencies do.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so it's just a troll. I don't know if people are actually buying it or not.
I just assume people were buying it because people are that dumb to get into Devolver Digital Bitcoin money.
I mean, there's that thing where the Cards Against Humanity, they like got a bunch of money just to dig a hole. So that happened on like Black Friday. They managed to raise like $10,000 from people just to dig a hole.
Oh my gosh.
For no purpose. It just shows like how completely irrational and stupid people are. Like if you put an idea of spending money on something in their heads, they'll do it. So please give us money.
You know, there was something on the news where it was like, I caught it briefly, where it was like most millennials believe that they're going to be millionaires or something. And I'm just like, everyone wants to be a millionaire. It doesn't matter. But like, it's like they expect to be millionaires. Like, well, how are you going to be millionaires when you send money to people to dig a hole?
Avocado toast. That'll make them millionaires. They're going to develop the perfect avocado recipe. I remember there's this guy behind me at a Half Price Books in Austin that was going on about, like, he had developed the perfect recipe for avocado toast.
Oh,
and
this was
like right after there was this article where some person had been ridiculing millennials and saying, like, the reason why they can't afford to buy houses is because they're spending all their money on avocado toast. And all these millennials were like ridiculing him, saying like, we don't do that.
No,
like a walking cliche behind me that's actually talking about avocado toast.
Gosh. The thing is, it's like one of them was like, oh my gosh. I didn't know you could add avocados with toast. Did you know that? Oh my gosh. I gotta go home and go to Trader Joe's. I gotta make this. I gotta make this happen. Like that's when you come up with something stupid and they'll jump on it and try to cash in on it. So I bet you that guy is gonna come up with like an avocado toast like food truck, where he serves nothing but avocado toast because he's in Austin and that's all he's gonna do and that's how he's gonna make his money, and then blow it on more stupid crap that he thinks is so important that it's not gonna go towards a house. I was gonna.
Bitcoin price soars after Dennis Rodman's trip to Singapore. Well, there's a current cryptocurrency that's on the way up. And like,
we can talk about more on hipsters and millennials later. So, in closing remarks, so I'm gonna put my hat down for what I believe is the greatest E3 show this year, and that is by my friend's company, Limited Run Games. Which what they decided to do to open it up was they had the mini tone to Knights of Fire by Initial D, or the Urbeat song, and they had like a crappy CGI looking car drift in to like a rasterized pixelated stage. So what they did is they did their E3 thing on a pre-recorded like green screen thing, but they were all like rasterized flat images, and they just kind of like scooted around like they're NPC characters. It was pretty creative, I have to say, with like, you know, what you can do with limited video editing and then After Effects. And they had like a static crowd image of like GIFs of people like cheering and stuff. It was some good stuff. So the stuff coming out from Limited Run is a lot of like more Switch games. The biggest announcement, I think this might have been the thing that Josh was telling me about. He was like, I saw him and he was like, you'll never guess what I got. You'll never know like what I'm about to put out. It's huge. And I'm just like, he'll let me guess, but he won't give me any hints, of course.
He's just like, the thing with the president?
The what?
Well, it's like some game that involves the U.S. president, but it's like a mecha game. Something wolf.
No, because this company didn't talk anything about that game. No, I know what you're talking about. No, it's...
Maybe that was Devolver Digital that was putting that out, actually.
Okay. So the big thing coming from Limited Run, well, two things is one is that people with Switches can now try to get their copy of Night Trap for this Nintendo Switch,
Oh, right, yeah.
My words of wisdom to that is, suck it, Howard Lincoln, and Nintendo of America. And the second big announcement, as or I think that's the one he was blabbing about, was Double Switch is coming to, is a game they're going to be putting out. And Double Switch is like made by the same people, Crystal Pictures, that did the Night Trap game, but it's a better FNV interactive game than what Night Trap was. So I'm going to try my best to get a copy of Double Switch if I can, whenever they put that out. So I'm curious, because like, if I get a physical copy of Double Switch, then I'm kind of like, okay, well, then I got like the major games that came by Crystal Pictures like during that time era. So I think that was probably the major, like basically the major announcement from them was on that.
Yeah.
That's all I can really, like Limited Run, like it had some more releases, but that was the one that really like stuck out to me. It was like, oh, Double Switch, heck yeah, I'll get this. I mean, if I can. So, otherwise, I can just wait till next year when I go to Animazement, and he's like, oh, I got like 500 extra copies of Double Switch. You can have like 20. I don't know what to do with them. Thank you, Josh. I'll probably walk out of there with like 5 or 6, maybe. I don't know. But anyways, I can't think of anything else I want to talk about for E3, and we're 45 minutes in.
Yeah.
That kind of really sums up E3.
Yeah. I guess we can move over to closing remarks, because I don't have much more to say about it either.
Okay. I mean, we can do like a video game closing remarks, if you want to talk about stuff we played, because I can talk about some stuff.
Okay.
Well, I guess we can go, let's go like general closing remarks, and then we'll go into video game closing remarks. How about that?
Sure. I mean, I know that just going off what you were just talking about, you've been playing Night Trap, so
yeah,
we could just segue into that pretty easily.
All right, screw it. Yeah, I'll just talk about Night Trap then. So, I did finally get around to playing. I actually played and beat Night Trap twice. I got a perfect the second time I did it. So, on the PlayStation version of Night Trap, if you get a perfect, as in you catch all the augers, and you don't mess up, and everyone lives or whatever, then you get a game unlocked on it called Scene of the Crime, which is basically sort of like the beta version of what Crystal Pictures was trying to do before they did Night Trap, which is a very, it's an all right FN, like it's a very simple FMV game. It's like maybe 6-7 minutes long, and basically it's kind of like this, like you have this rich guy that has a that has a security system. And he's got people plotting to take his money. And it's up to you to try to figure out, like, who's the main person plotting to take his money. And then once you figure it out, then you get to have, like, if you get two different endings, like the good ending and bad ending. Like, there's another part of the game that, in the bonus area that unlocks that you can, like, go through, videos and, like, more cutscenes. I think the big thing was the fact that the guy who worked on, I think his name's Zito. Who worked on, there was another guy, who basically came up with Night Trap, had a, he's got all his stuff, like, saved from when he worked on, like, in terms of, like, the scripting, the timetables, and when you're supposed to switch scenes and what area. So they have a scan of that they grafted, like, on the game that you can zoom in and take a look at it. And it's interesting. On just how he has this, like, a very, like, all these scenes recorded. And how they should be intricately put out on this and to make this game happen, where you can like switch rooms or whatever. So it's really interesting. There's a lot, like when you play through the game a second time or however times you get to unlock more cutscenes so you can watch them. They did a documentary about Night Trap back in 1995, which is like maybe 10 minutes long. That's actually really interesting to look at. And trying to think what else there. I mean, there's a lot of images. There's like scans of like, you know, like what the director, like his office space looks like when he was working on the game, where he's got like an Apple II computer and like a coffee mug. And it's like his timesheet laid out on his desk. And there's like shots of, basically like behind the scenes stuff of them working on the video. Like, you know, like how they had to make these sets. And they actually shot this whole game, or, like, the footage for all this, like, within a month. Or, like, a little out, over a month. Which is pretty interesting.
Yeah. What do you think the budget was? Pretty low for the time?
Or? It's very low. Like, the guy that the directed was just like, holy crap. Like, I was even surprised we got Dana Plato on this. Like, because they filmed this, like, in 86 or 87. So they were, you know, basically, like, really just excited to have, like, sort of a name person, like, a main name person to work on this, to be part of this, like, video or whatever, because everybody else was, like, small-time actors. I think, honestly, the mom in the game might have been the mom, and I'm going to confirm this, might have been the mom in Secret World of Alex Mack. Let me take a look. Of Alex Mack. Wikipedia. Let's see.
Does Wikipedia have, like, a list of actors that are in Night Chat?
Alright. Dorian Lapinto. Let me take a look. I'm gonna Google her. Let me see.
I feel like they would have, like, a kids show actor be someone from Night Trap.
No, she was not in Night Trap. Let me look up. Hold on. Night Trap IMDb. I mean, it's basically a movie, so.
I just TV. To...
Man.
You think it's on there?
Yeah, there's an IMDb listing for Night Trap. I mean, it's a motion movie, yeah. So, like, they have.
Interesting. I didn't know there were video games on
the movie. Man. Ah, I freaking. Okay, Sarah Martin is Susie Coate. That's gotta be her, maybe?
Okay.
Oh, no, maybe it's... I think it's Molly Starr is her name.
Oh.
She does not... Wow, she barely did anything. Okay. Maybe it's this other one. Maybe it's not Sheila. Maybe it's Sarah. This other girl named Sarah, Susie Coate. I don't think that's the mom. Maybe, I don't know. This is... This is a rabbit hole. So, I don't know. I don't think people want to hear me talk about Night Trap Crew or whatever. There's a movie called Night Trap that came out in 93. Starring Robert Davi. Michael Ironside is in this? Heck yeah. I gotta watch this movie now.
Unrelated to the game?
Yes, this is totally unrelated to the game. There's a movie called Night Trap. It came out a year after the game came out. And it, Robert Davi is the guy that was the, okay. You remember, the Bond movie, freaking, License to Kill, the Spanish guy that's in there? Yeah, he's in this.
One of the Timothy Dalton ones?
Yes, he's in this movie. And then you got Michael Ironside. Crap, now the fact that I just saw Michael Ironside, like, I definitely want to see this. Man, I am going down a rabbit hole big time. It's just... Man, I love this. Okay. I can't really think of anything else. What else have I... Really, just Night Trap was the main thing I played. Oh, the other thing I've been playing is... I actually picked this up a couple months ago. It's the Hokuto no Gotoku, which is based off the Yakuza games, which is but it's about the world of Hokuto no Ken. And I picked... It's an import game. I don't think it's... I don't know when it's going to come out in America... But I wound up getting an import of it. There were some people that were translating it, and they haven't updated that Wikipedia site in like 3 months. I don't know if they ever will. But anyways, that one is basically like you take the Yakuza games, but it's around the lore of Fist and the North Star. So Ken's like in this, like, you know, this city or whatever, and he's protecting it, but you get to be sent on missions. Bat and him drive around in their buggy, but the buggy is like a Humvee, basically, and you have to, like, get parts for it and soup it up. There's, like, an indoor arena area that you can beat up bad guys. You get to be a bouncer at a hostess club. Ken gets to be a bartender. I'm trying to get to the game, part of the game where I can play arcade games so I can have Ken sit down and play, like, Hang On or whatever. So that's, like, my ultimate goal there. Yes, in this game there is. In the World of Fists and the North Star, Sega games are the only ones that survive. So, if you guys owe it to yourself to get Hokuto no Gotoku, let me look this up. Hokuto no Gotoku, yeah. Definitely, it's a pretty good game. It's in port now, but I don't know when it's ever... I don't know when this is going to come out. Yeah, the last time this thing got any... I'm looking at this website called khhsubs.com, which is supposed to be, like, subbing all these video games by the Yakuza games, but the last update on this one was, like, back on March 15th. Like, right when this game came out. So someone, like, I got, like, 5 chapters in, even though there's, like, 12. I don't really care. So, whatever. Oh, someone did a fan's translation of this? Oh, it's 3 months ago. Shoot. Oh, well. But that's another game I've been slowly trying to creep through is playing the Yakuza Fist and the North Star game. Because I've known about this game coming out for like maybe the past year or so. And I was like, I want this so bad. And then I tried the demo on my Japanese PlayStation account. And I was like, I have to get this. Yeah, anyways, that's kind of the two things I've been playing that I can take off record. So, what about you, John?
I haven't really been playing very many yet. I'm still working Zelda Breath of the Wild. I started playing that again after I'd taken a break for a few months. There's so many shrines to find in it. I think there's 42 in all, and a lot of them are, you know, hidden behind some rocks that you have to bomb. And so I've kind of been having to look up stuff online because it's so obscure for how to get into some of them.
Yeah.
This has always been the case with Zelda, even like going back to NES. There was stuff like that in the original Zelda. Like really cryptic stuff where you would never guess it on your own without having to look it up. I had beaten Ganon a few months back, but there's so much more to do beyond the main quest and all these different shrines. I managed to find the rubber armor by clearing some side quests and finding some shrines I hadn't found before. And you can upgrade the armor a bunch of times to make it stronger by getting types of material, and there's these really strong bosses called Lynels that are all over the world map, and if you defeat them, you can use their weapons, which are really strong, or you can use their body parts to upgrade your armor, and so there's just a lot to do on it, even though it's something that I beat the main part of the game a while back, but there's always more you can come back and do.
Gotcha.
And then I was doing Sonic Forces on Switch also, which I'm kind of stuck on the last boss at the moment, but I've almost finished it, and so that game's sort of good. I mean, there's parts that are 2D Sonic, like the original games, and there's parts that are 3D Sonic, like Sonic Adventure style, and I like those two parts, but there's a player avatar character that you can you have to play through on like half the stages, and you have to like customize him and pick his shirt and his hat and everything, and even though there's all sorts of different things you can put on him, I haven't found like a design for him that I actually like. He always just looks like sort of a dweeby deviant art character. So I just kind of don't like that feature, and I wish it had not been included.
I think they probably did that
for Sonic fans that love to rant about their original character that they created and draw artwork of them.
Oh, man. So you're saying that like that mode pertains specifically to DeviantArt people and Chris Chan?
Well, you have to like play through certain stages in certain modes. Like you have to use that character for something like half the levels. And so they're always like, each time you beat a level, they give you a bunch of different outfits that you can switch through. Okay. Put on this character. But he just he doesn't look cool at all, and you know, no matter what you put on him, he's just this sort of like dweeby looking character. I don't think that mode was as well received as they were hoping for, but I'm sure that there's furries that are like, oh great, I can customize my character. But I know Chris Chan was like whining about the fact that he couldn't make it look enough like Sonic 2.
Oh, okay. He so tried that's to the do same game. Gotcha.
Yeah. He was like, why doesn't it have the Pikachu tail option?
when we were talking about Sonic Forces, you dragged out that S, and I thought you were going to say, like, man, this game sucks or something. Yeah, I got nothing else to say on games. I barely placed. I mean, the only other game I can think of that I played was I picked up that GoldenEye 007 game that was on PS3. Like, it was like a what they did on that was they modernized it for PlayStation PlayStation 3, and they added like the face of Daniel Craig in it, but it's the same story pretty much as the original Rare GoldenEye game for the N64. And that game, it was like they just drug levels on way too long. Like, I just got like really tedious and boring in certain parts. Because that N64 game, like you can get through a level within like maybe 5 to 10 minutes, if that, on average. Like, it's not bad. But that one, it just felt like, you know, each level was like 45 minutes or an hour, and I'm just like, this is ridiculous.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting that they made another GoldenEye game, but it didn't really catch on. The original.
No, not like what they thought it was. Like, I heard like it wasn't that good, and then I was like, well, I like to still try it, and then I did, and I was like, this is not as cool. This is not that good of a game. But it's something I've had my eye on for like a number of years, just to see like when it would be a good price for me to get it. And I tried it out, and I guess I'll try to beat it at some point. I don't know. Oh yeah, okay. Sorry for yawning. Just had a long day. Yeah. All right, so for closing remarks, so is Trump eligible for the Nobel Peace Prize because he shook Kim Jong-un's hand and is asking for denuclearization because Kim Jong-un can get McDonald's or something in Korea? So what's going on with that?
Yeah, they're rumored that he's been nominated, but there was some sort of effort to throw out the nominations.
Well, of course.
Claiming, like, oh, they're Russians or something. You know, everything is always like, oh, it's got to be hackers that are submitting fraudulent applications that can't actually be real people. You know, just like all the people that voted for him must all be Russians. Like when CNN went to
them
that random...
darn Ruskies.
That random woman's house, like some 70-year-old woman in Florida, and started badgering her and accusing her of being Russian Asian.
That was terrible.
It was terrible. Because she was a member of a group called Being Patriotic and had gone to Trump rallies. And so she was therefore a Russian. and that's what they've been doing lately, is just doxing Trump supporters nonstop, which is insane.
That's
having to post, and NBC and all these different companies are doing this now. And that it's clear that they're just desperate to destroy people because they have nothing else. I mean, look at how much he's succeeding on the foreign policy, on the economy. All they can try to do is just to, you know, try to shame his supporters and destroy them, get them fired from their jobs.
They're the biggest haters, man.
Yes, haters and losers, as Donald Trump called them right before he went to the summit. He called out the people who were telling him, don't go there, and he was, you know, he was just mocking. I mean, these people, they've had decades of trying it their way, which is just failure. They've done nothing since Eisenhower was the last one who did any good there. And, you know, this is, now we have somebody who's actually doing something. They're jealous that he's doing stuff that they couldn't pull off. You know, you think Hillary would have been able to do this? I don't think
so. Oh, no, heck no. Like, it would be like the same as, let's just put sanctions on North Korea, then North Korea's still going to test missiles. I think we would have been way closer to a nuclear war, if not maybe been in one already, if Hillary was in office. But everyone's so afraid that Trump's going to start something. it's kind of hard to start something when we already got peace established with him going to Singapore, shaking the hand of the leader that everyone has hated for so long to work out a peace deal where he wants to, you know, basically, like, we're done running this communist game. Like, you know, like, I want to be prosperous like these other nations. What do I got to do? So
that video
Jung-un
that he showed
smart.
Him, that video that he showed him is amazing. There's this four-minute video that he made, which is like a Hollywood movie trailer, basically.
Yes.
This guy is I watched the Dilbert guy's analysis of it, and he's right. He said it's the greatest move in any negotiation ever. And it seems like overstatement, but it is brilliant.
The thing is, it's the move that was like, if it was successfully handled in the Die Hard movie. Like, okay, so like in Die Hard, you had Hans Gruber that was taking over the tower, and then you had Ellis, who was like this like sly, sleeky, sleazy business guy, kind of like Trump. And he's trying to go up there and, like, you know, like, figure out, like, you know, what deal we got to cut, you know, to make you guys not be terrorists or whatever. And Ellis gets Cap right in the freaking face, you know, trying to negotiate with these guys. And here's Trump talking to someone that's, like, the most dangerous person on the entire planet. And he's shaking his hand, walking in the park with them. And things are going pretty good right now. And I don't see why that would stop. So clearly it's like there's more to offer at the table because, you know, it's like there's no point in trying to be with, you know, getting a fight with America. And, you know, like you won't, you know, like you have a population of people that you're trying to, you know, like be a leader over. If you have like all these food sanctions on them, that's going to starve them to death. Then you got nobody to lead. So.
Yes. Trump got tough on China and he made them stop secretly supplying North Korea with all the stuff that they were giving them under Obama.
Yeah.
All the oil and the food and stuff, because the North Korea, they claim to be Juche, which is like communist self-sufficient country, but they're not actually, because they can't operate like that forever. And they've bled themselves dry. All their people are like midgets because they're not being well-nourished enough to fully grow.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's no electricity except for the elites. So they have this in this video, which is one of the most incredible videos of all time. They show images of Korea now, showing where South Korea is a million points of light, to use George H.W. Bush's term. They've got all these little night lights on it. You know, this is a satellite picture at night of the peninsula. And so you've got like a few little dots of North Korea, and that's like where Kim lives. And then like the rest of the country is just black because they're living like it's the 17th century or something, like a subsistence lifestyle. That's what communism leads to. So then Trump, he shows capitalism. He shows technology like you'd never believe. And he's like showing like pictures of South Korea and Japan, like advanced medical facilities, sky rises and restaurants and everything. And he's like, you were born into the situation where you had to take over this country. You know, he's got a rough situation. That's what he was born into, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the old kings, you know, we can sit back now and judge them. But a lot of them were just trying to do what was best for their people, even if they had to kill a lot of people and they had to do brutal stuff. You know, Trump is trying to put himself into Kim's shoes when he says stuff like that.
Yeah.
And try to empathize and make a, you know, a bond between them where he says, I get where you're coming from, but you need to leave that old system behind and enter modernity and become a capitalist country, you know, and become more democratic. And that's what's going to happen because he can negotiate from a position of strength. You know, he's got the most powerful military in the world behind him. He's got them completely backed into a corner with all the sanctions, and they have no choice but to negotiate. And they've already destroyed one of their nuclear testing facilities. So they've put a halt to the research and they've committed to denuclearizing. And what does the press have to say about all this? Nothing but negativity, saying, oh, he's just emboldening Kim Jong-un and legitimizing him and blah, blah, blah. I mean, that family has been in control there for 70 years.
Yes.
He already has total control in the people's minds there over them. They've been completely brainwashed their whole lives in the public school system. The fact that Trump met them, it's not like if he didn't meet them, he was just going to be overthrown by his people the next day or something. Like, this is the only way out. And they have been blocking this because these so-called experts don't have a clue. They've accomplished nothing. They just sit around. Their jobs depend on not solving anything because they just sit there writing papers about their idea of how to solve these problems.
But not implement but, jack crap about it.
Yeah, remember Obama? He calls it strategic patience, a.k.a. just doing nothing.
That's called procrastination.
Yeah, it's called, I'm going to just like leave this for the next president because I don't have any ideas of my own and I just do what people tell me to do.
And then when the next president does all the work, then you get all pissy fit about it and because of something you probably could have done. So you gave that up over this quote of strategic patience. No, you were patient. Yeah. You gave the job to someone else that was more qualified for it.
Yeah, and look how much of a nuclear program they developed in the term of Obama, where he did nothing, and he just let them keep developing it, and then they were starting to, when we came in with Trump, they were threatening every week, like, we're going to nuke Hawaii, we're going to nuke Guam, we're going to destroy you, and like for a while, it looked like maybe they actually could. And so it was getting nerve-wracking, and you had the point where Trump was, like, saying, like, you know, they were talking about the buttons on the desks and saying, like, you know, I can shoot missiles at you first, and Trump's like, my button's bigger than yours is, and they were taunting each other, and people were like, this is the end, but it was all a game, it was all his plan here to act tough, force everybody to the negotiating table, make peace, bring capitalism. I mean, look at what Japan recovered from after World War II. They were nuked. Their whole country was destroyed by firebombing, and there were people dying in the streets. They were very poor. Uh-huh. And then within 10 years, they're an industrial powerhouse. They're one of the biggest countries' economies in the world. Their culture is spreading all over the place. They've got anime, manga exported all over the world. Everybody loves them.
They have
them.
People that love their stuff so much, they make anime podcasts to talk about it, but even though right now they're talking about the politics behind of how they became such a great country. Fancy that.
Yeah, but you had like cars and televisions and everything that was being built there. That's what North Korea could be. They could be like South Korea because their people have that potential within them. You know, they're genetically the same as the South Koreans. The only reason they're smaller is because of communism. They're being starved. And this is the sort of system that the left wants in this country. You know, they think, oh, everybody just needs to be more equal. And, you know, we should embrace communism because capitalism is racist or, you know, that kind of stupidity. Well, actually, it's better for all of the races to have capitalism. Look at the brilliant capitalist revolution we're experiencing in this country right now. Unemployment among blacks and Hispanics is at an all-time low.
And women.
And women and everybody. It's amazing for everybody, and they're going to say it's racist, whatever. You can hate, but it's
winning. Look at the statistics, it's right freaking there. Like, if you put your personal politics aside, and you're biased, and you see, like, how it is, then you're like, well, you just have to bitch about something. Because you want to bitch.
Yeah, I mean, and they can sit there and pout when Trump mentions that at the State of the Union, but it's just a fact. And, you know, the point here is they're just going to sit here and pout during the Korea thing and act like, oh, he didn't actually get any concessions, or why is he saying that he wants to suspend exercises in the Korean Peninsula, and why does he want to pull the troops out of there? Well, maybe because we're wasting billions of dollars over there just endlessly doing these exercises offshore, which if we just solved the fucking problem, we wouldn't have to be doing that, you know? Like, it's just not necessary if North Korea is not a major nuclear threat that's constantly threatening everybody. If we just get them to live in peace with their neighbors, then we don't have to waste hundreds of billions of dollars of our GDP protecting South Korea and Japan from them. And the same thing is going on with Europe. They're freaking out about he went over there and he, you know, he got tough on tariffs and he was saying, like, if you guys are going to put tariffs on us, we're going to put tariffs on you. And if you drop your tariffs, we'll drop our tariffs. And they didn't go along with it. And so there are going to be some tariffs. And now people are freaking out about it and saying, like, oh, it's the breakdown of the alliance system. And now Trump is making a new alliance system with Putin and Kim Jong-un. And the dictators are going to rule the world. And all this stuff.
They're the winners of the world. That's the thing. They're the powerhouse economies right now. Like, so we get rid of North Korea as a threat, and Korea becomes one nation. What other? I mean, like, in terms of like other communist nations that are threats, it's really China. That's it. China is such a powerhouse like economy, you know, where they're saying they're communist, but they're doing really well for themselves. We don't really have like a major like somebody insane out there, like not as of yet, but there'll be a little bit of peace to come after this before some other nation comes up, and or better yet, before America comes up with a reason to fund another country or a sect that rises to power and becomes a threat 10, 20 years from now.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I don't even think that's going to happen anymore, because now we've got Pompeo in there as Secretary of State.
Yeah.
When he was in CIA, he defunded the terrorists that we were funding in Syria under Obama for like 8 years. He kept funding the terrorists over there trying to overthrow Assad. Pompeo puts an end to it. He goes over to State Department. He stops funding the White Helmets. They keep staging these false flags, trying to get us to invade, all these fake attacks and everything.
Yeah.
So now that's all stopping. And then he's making peace with North Korea. He had all these secret meetings that laid the foundations for this. And he's trying to do something with Iran to make a better deal, because the Obama-Iran deal was just stupid. We were giving them hundreds of billions of dollars for nothing. And we weren't able to inspect everywhere. And it was just, you know, not working. And other satellite photos showing they had secret inspection, secret programs at these bases that we weren't even allowed to go into. So he says, like, okay, we'll actually recognize you. We'll put full investment into your economy, and we'll let things go like they're going with North Korea if you stop funding terrorism throughout the Middle East, if you stop your nuclear missile program, and look at how it's working with Korea. You know, it's going to be a good example for Iran, and we're going to get a better deal than what we had before.
Yeah.
I mean, this all over the world. Look at how much things are getting better. ISIS is destroyed. We've made so much progress over there. I mean, there was almost no progress against ISIS under Obama. And then, you know, within a year and a half, Trump has pretty much annihilated them. They barely control, you know, a little bit of territory in the desert. And that'll be gone within a few months. And then we'll get out of Syria. I mean, yeah. And the media has nothing positive to say about any of this. It's amazing. They're completely engaged in journalistic malpractice because of their hatred for one man. And they're willing to sell off the entire world just for the sake of their personal animosity towards somebody who's wrecking their little club, their little group. That, you know, they don't care about the people of the world that are starving in North Korea. That now they're going to put a McDonald's in there, you know, like they're going to build restaurants in there. These people wouldn't have anything to eat.
That is going to fatten them up.
Yeah, Kim, he went to McDonald's in Singapore. He's like, what are we missing out on, you know? And people, they're like making fun of it. And it is funny, kind of, to see this big fat guy eating McDonald's. Yeah. But still, like, you know, the whole country is going to be able to be like him. You know, they're all going to be able to get fat and happy and capitalist. I look at what happened to China. There's been billions of people lifted out of poverty over the last 30 or 40 years. And, like, yeah, they're still communists. They're still not free. But they're like a major part of the world economy now. They're, you know, contributing to capitalism. Their people are much smarter than they were under Mao. You know, they couldn't get an education because they're all being brainwashed with nonsense theories of agriculture, which were causing them all to starve. And, you know, that's what Kim Jong-un was still having in his country. You know, they have collective farms and all this madness that's been proven to be a failure for 100 years since the Soviet Revolution. Like, that has to end, and the only way it can end is through negotiation and peace and capitalism. And, you know, the media can't accept this. They don't understand how the world works. They think they do. They call themselves experts, but they're clueless. Okay, that's my rant. but still, I mean, it's just unbelievable to see this every day, how they have refused to give him credit for anything at all. But when you've got the highest growth in the economy in decades, you've got peace breaking out all over the world.
The thing is, like, it's like the media's trying so hard to change history, but, like, history's going to speak for itself 20, 30 years from now of, like, the things Trump did. But then you're going to have these, like, you know, basically the Liberal Party 20, 30 years from now, like, pulling up, like, all these naysaying, like, oh, well, we hated him because he said this and this and this. It's the same criticism people gave on George Bush, Herbert Bush, Reagan. I mean, oh, we had issues with their policies, but, like, look, history remembers what they did, and they're going to remember this for Trump. So it doesn't matter, like, what the media is going to say. It's going to be forgotten about, and it won't be forgotten about, but it won't be in the spotlight 10, 20 years from now.
Well, I remember with Reagan, they would always make fun of him. They say, oh, he was in a movie where there was a chimpanzee. You know, Bedtime for Bobo or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And saying, like, oh, he shouldn't be president because, oh, it's so embarrassing. He was an actor. And, you know, they did the same thing to Trump. They would say, oh, he's in The Apprentice. But then how about these ties that he got with Dennis Rodman on Celebrity Apprentice? And then Dennis Rodman, he gives the book Art of the Deal to Kim. Kim learns about capitalism from Art of the Deal. He learns about winning. He learns about how to make a good deal that benefits both sides. How about that? You know, like, how about the connections that he made with people that were important in the world through that show? How about the fact that he learned how to produce videos? And so he produced this brilliant propaganda video. It shows, 4 minutes, and it's got everything. They've got, here's what's going to happen if you go our way, and it shows basketball, because he knows from Dennis Rodman that Kim likes basketball. He wants there to be a basketball league there. And then it says, or, and then it shows a mushroom cloud. And it's like, okay, so these are the two options. We can either have the total annihilation of all life on Earth, which is what the Democrats want. You see Schumer and Pelosi, they're trashing the deal, saying, like, oh, we should never deal with these people. You know, you see Hillary, you know, during all the Syria stuff and everything, she's always wants war with every country. She always wants, you know, she would have gotten us all killed by now. But, you know, that's not happening now. And so this video is just, it's like a brilliant persuasive tactic. And it shows, like, only true men can make a difference. And billions of people come and go on this planet. Most of them will be forgotten. But there are people at important times that make important decisions that affect the lives of millions. They put all the pressure on him. They show what can be and what could be good and what could be bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a perfect, you know, these videos are so, they get people to watch movies. They know they've seen movies just like it hundreds of times. You know, it's like a Disney quality trailer, you know, for one of these comic book movies or whatever. You know, you've seen like 20 other movies like The Avengers, but the trailer is still so good that you want to see it. You know, it's the strong narration, the editing, it's all on par with that, where there's just no saying no to it, right? I mean, so Kim goes in, he sees it, he signs the deal, they meet for like an hour, and it's all solved, stuff that other people couldn't solve for 65 years.
Yeah.
And this is what the power of capitalism is, and it's just amazing.
Hey, John, we could get a Pulgasari 2. Talk about good screen. We gotta review that movie one day.
Pulgasari meets Godzilla or something.
Yeah, the ultimate crossover.
Pulgasari meets Pacific Rim.
Oh my gosh, that'd be good.
Three-way battle to show international peace between North Korea, Japan, and the U.S.
And think about this.
Maybe
like,
you can have Yonggery too.
See,
for
think
South
about
Korea.
Yeah. See, think about it this way. Like, China's and the Asian countries are like the biggest, like, you know, moviegoers for these American movies. When Korea gets involved in that and people make money to go out and see the movies, that's even generating more money there.
Right. The Koreans, they love the movies. North Korea, they kidnap people to make movies for them from South Korea and Japan. And I don't know, maybe they're Americans too that have been kidnapped. But especially Kim Jong-il was into doing that. I don't know if his son still does it or not, but they're infamous for doing that. So, like, we know that they love Western culture and that they're, like, envious that we have this all this wealth and abundance, and they try to simulate that for their own lifestyle, but they just don't have the resources to do that for the whole population of the country because they're communists, and it stifles innovation. It leads to a subsistence lifestyle with billions of people starving every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw what happened in China with Mao. He killed way more people.
Stalin did it too for Russia. Yeah. I mean,
it's right. Stalin, Cuba. The collectivization of farms, it killed millions of people.
Yeah.
You never hear about it in the public schools or the media. They talk about the Holocaust all the time, but they never talk about all the victims of communism, which is
staggering. Yeah, and death. Yes.
Yeah. So that's something that should be focused on. But the teachers are communists in the public schools, so they don't talk about it because they don't want you to realize the results of their ideology. I mean, especially in universities. I mean, some of the elementary school teachers are probably so dumb that they just don't even know about it. But, you know, like political science professors and historians and stuff, they know about it and they just don't talk about it because they have a cult of Marxism in the universities. Like when Karl Marx's birthday was... you know, 200th birthday a few months ago, like New York Times, Washington Post, they all ran these, like, happy birthday, Karl Marx, you're an underappreciated genius. We just had people that poorly put your ideas into practice, but, you know, next time we get in power, we're really going to do it right.
Yeah, we're, and, yeah.
They'll never give up on it, no matter how many people it kills.
So, speaking of politics... is state of Texas doing their primaries for governors? Like, are you guys doing it at the same time as South Carolina?
No, that already happened.
Oh, who'd you guys get?
They nominated. I think they nominated like a black lesbian woman or something like that.
Oh,
let me see what the name of them was. First female lesbian Latina governor nominee, name of Lupe Valdez, the former sheriff of Dallas County.
Okay.
And she's going up against Greg Abbott, which is the current governor that succeeded Rick Perry when Rick Perry went over to the Department of Energy.
Okay. So...
So in South Carolina, they've got the Mark Sanford primary race, and I was just looking at the result, and Trump, after he taunted him earlier about the affair from the, 2010 or whatever it was, where he went off on the Appalachian Trail, or so he claimed, and it turned out he was...
In Argentina, cheating on his wife.
Yeah, he was like with his secret lover, and he had just abandoned the governor post to go do this. Somehow he made it back into the House of Representatives, and he's been a thorn in Trump's side. He's got like it says only 73% of the time he votes with Trump, but now he's losing in this primary to somebody that Trump endorsed.
Okay, wait. So what's this guy's name?
Mark Sanford. Here's Trump's tweet. Mark Sanford has been very unhelpful to me in my campaign to make America great again. He is missing in action and nothing but trouble. He is better off in Argentina. I fully endorse Katie Arrington for Congress in South Carolina, a state I love. She is tough on crime and will continue our fight to lower taxes. Vote Katie.
I'm trying to find this guy. Is he Democrat or Republican?
Mark Sanford. He was the Republican governor before Nikki Haley.
Okay, yeah, no. Katie Arrington is at 52% right now for the... House District 1, so... he's losing right now. Yeah, they got 65% so far. In terms of the governor, it's Henry McMaster is at 43% so far. John Warren, who was the guy I picked, is at 25%. And then Catherine Templeton is at 22%.
I honestly thought she was going to get it.
What?
Dude... Do you know, like, what are the local issues about what Warren stands for versus the others?
Actually, I don't know. It's mostly been just attack ads. It's like, John Warren is this guy who's, like, Christian, conservative, Marine. He gets the job done. He's going to clean the swamp of Columbia and these old-timey people. And it has him, like, running down the street in his Marine sweatshirt and, like, these slow-motion shots. It's not, like, how much of a badass he is. He's like, he's for gun control and no sanctuary cities and all this other stuff. And I was like, I just wanted to pick him because it sounds too much like Chad Warden, the PS Triple guy. So every time he gets it, I'm just like, yeah, my boy Chad Warden's up there going to give everyone a PS triple in this, on the tax release or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, sup, bitches? Y'all's going to get a PlayStation triple. It's slick. Ain't no one going to get a Wii. Wii looks like a dildo. That's and then Catherine That's Templeton, there's been so many slam pieces on her, and I'm like, I'll be surprised if she makes it. But she's doing pretty, like, she's only doing good in McCormick, Edgefield, Jasper, and Beaufort counties.
What are they slamming her on?
I don't know. Something about misappropriating. Oh, no, there's one ad. There's one ad where basically she's had all these government jobs and how she's been fired from them. But the ad has an audio clip of Trump saying, "You're fired. You're fired." Like, it was like, Catherine Templeton. Yeah, I have to use that for show notes. It's like, Templeton worked at this job for 3 months. And then, like, the next clip is, like, Trump going, "Fired." I have to play it. Oh, it's.
I love that he's, like, a living meme that you can just use.
Use for your your candidacy promotions.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There have been more slam pieces on Catherine Templeton than there in positive stuff.
I think he endorsed McMaster.
He does, yeah. The big ad for McMaster is the fact that it's Trump endorsing him, so of course people are going to go for McMaster because there's that endorsement there. But he's only at 43% so far right now. There's two more counties that haven't been accounted for. I'm just
looking.
Yeah, I think McMaster's just got this in the bag. Most of these counties are reporting in on this. I mean, the Democrat we have is James Smith. I don't know anything about him.
He's not going to win in South Carolina.
No, I don't see that happening. So that's
there's other states that are doing primaries too, like Virginia has one that's very controversial. Have you been following that one?
Oh, wow.
Corey Stewart versus Nick Freitas for Senate. And Corey Stewart seems to have won. It was a close race, but that's the Republican primary there.
Is that the guy that has like that terrible ad that somehow he's getting all this attention?
No, that was Don Blankenship in West Virginia.
Okay, different Virginia.
That guy lost.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, but Corey Stewart, they've been going after him because he... They found some clip of him saying that Paul Nehlen was his idol. And Paul Nehlen was the guy who was running against Paul Ryan for his seat in Wisconsin a few years ago. And so a couple of years ago, I guess he had endorsed Nehlen as part of the fight against the establishment.
Yeah.
Because at the time, Steve Bannon and other people were behind Nehlen. But the problem is that later on, Nehlen became a neo-Nazi. So,
oh, boy.
As a result, they're starting to say, like, oh, he idolizes a neo-Nazi. But, like, this was before Paul Nehlen read a neo-Nazi book and became converted and then got banned from Twitter for posting Nazi memes.
Huh.
But this guy somehow, he managed to win even despite this controversy. He's famous for also being kicked off of Donald Trump's campaign president in 2016. He had some unauthorized rally that Trump didn't approve of or something, and then he had been defending these Confederate statues and saying they shouldn't come down. So people are trying to tie all this together and say that he's alt-right or something like that. And also he used the term cuckservative on a Reddit Ask Me Anything. And did a Periscope video with Mike Cernovich, so they've been really going after him, and he's probably not going to be able to win the general election. But he's been majorly attacked, and Ben Shapiro is trying to get Jerry Falwell to unendorse him, but it was not successful. Jerry Falwell was still standing behind him, I guess because. The problem is all this stuff was kind of taken out of context. I don't think the guy is actually a neo-Nazi. Paul Nehlen, yes, but like at the time that this guy said something pro about Paul Nehlen, he didn't know that because Paul Nehlen was not yet a neo-Nazi. You know, people change over time. So they tried to, you know, they ran a bunch of attack ads on him and it didn't really work, evidently. I think people are just tired of people being smeared. So, like, the person who's smeared more almost wins by default, just, like, out of sympathy for the people who tend to get falsely accused of things and destroyed. I feel like that certainly worked with Trump. Like, there was so many attacks on him that people almost felt like if they hate him this much, he must be doing something right.
I cannot find that slam piece on Catherine Templeton. It's good stuff. I've seen it on
the fired video.
Yeah, it's not on YouTube. No one's been able to upload it. That's sad. There's gotta be, man. It's about the public town hall meetings. Like, there's something about her being like the, I don't know. This is dumb, but she's trying to get like people to pull that ad down, but it still kept running up last week.
Did she sue them for libel or something, or what?
I don't think she can do it if it's in fair use. So
I'm gonna read the Trump tweet about De Niro while you're looking that up.
Okay. Well, I have to heavily edit this because it's just us like clicking things. Okay. I can't find it. Whatever. If I find it, I'll post it up here for sure.
Robert De Niro, a very low IQ individual.
Oh, this is good.
Has received too many too many shots to the head by real boxers in the movies. I punched him last night and truly believe he may be punch drunk. I guess he doesn't realize the economy is the best it's ever been, with employment being at an all-time high and many companies pouring back into our country. Wake up, Punchy.
when I saw the wake up Punchy part, I literally laughed for like a couple minutes. I just like, these nicknames get so much better.
I love the tweet from Michael Malice where he said that Trump should get a Nobel Prize for literature for his creative tweeting.
I just love these...
talking about Nobel Peace Prize, but what about the literature of the 140-letter art form known as Twitter?
The thing is, I can't get calling Robert De Niro Punchy out of my head. I think that's the purpose. Like, every time I see Robert De Niro, I'm like, hey, look, it's Punchy. I'm not even a big Robert De Niro fan anyway, so I couldn't care less. I think a lot of the actors that I like are not under not being attacked by Trump. So there you go.
He's only going after people that go after him. People might think this is gratuitous if they don't follow them. But De Niro, he went on the Tonys, I think it was, and went on this tirade about fuck Trump, and he said this live on an awards show. And luckily, because of Janet Jackson, they've got the 5-second delay, and so they were able to bleep it out. But still, I mean, that that's the kind of stuff you can say on TV now. I don't know if you're following Archer, but in the most recent episode, they said fuck in there twice. I was surprised.
I haven't kept up with Archer yet. I'm probably just going to get the episode rips from MySplane. I haven't even been on MySplane in a couple of weeks. I'm pretty sure those episode rips are on there. I just haven't gotten to watching them yet, but I will eventually.
It's another dream season.
Are you serious?
On Island. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Whose dream are they in now?
Well, it's not even explained. I mean, it just starts, and it's like, they don't explicitly say that it's a dream. It just starts on the island with no explanation. So it's kind of just like they're just making whatever they feel like. I assume it's just another dream that Sterling's having, though.
Oh my gosh. Like, yeah, the last season was a dream, and it was all in Archer's head as he's in a coma. And then now this one is another dream episode, but we don't know. That's just so stupid.
They're on an island with like cannibals and Nazis during World War II.
They are running out of ideas badly. Like, if this is how they're going to do seasons.
And the seasons are short now. Like, they've already aired 7, but there's only going to be 8 episodes this season.
Wait, they've only done 7 episodes so far of this season?
Well, episode 8 is tomorrow night, and that's the season finale.
I didn't even know this show started back up. This is the first I heard about it, because I was like, oh man. Well, whoever's, I gotta check MySplane then.
Yeah, it'll all be up. Like, there'll probably be like a batch torrent of all the episodes.
Yeah,
after it airs. But yeah, I mean, they like it was episode 100 that aired last week, and they said that something like "fucking Nazis" or something like that at one point, and I was like, wow. So you can actually say "fuck" on cable TV now? Like, it's not even HBO or something. Is that? This is the first time I've heard that on. I mean, I guess it's only digital cable FXX because they moved it from FX to FXX, and I guess you can get away with more there. But I just wonder if it'll be Adult Swim allowing that to be said next, or you know, how many channels will allow that to be said in the future. The FCC, you know, they're irrelevant because so little is aired on broadcast TV. Like, the ratings are all falling. There were so many shows that got canceled this season. And I think Ishtar said something like Dragon Ball Super gets the same ratings as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does on ABC, you know? So even though it's on later and it's on cable instead of on network TV, and it probably costs far less to license it than to produce an entire live action drama with like CGI aliens and stuff like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has. So I mean, the FCC, and plus they're getting out of the internet regulations today because net neutrality is over.
Yeah, that's the other big thing.
So they don't even matter anymore. They've killed off Saturday morning cartoons, but that was their last big so-called victory. I would see it as not a good thing that they did that, but that was the last thing they did that was going to have any real influence. Like, they have no clout to do anything anymore. You know, when Disney XD censors the gay kissing, I'm pretty sure that was not the FCC telling them to do that. I think Disney just chose to do it.
Yeah, it's definitely a Disney thing, for sure. So, the guy that uploads these Archer episodes on MySpleen, he hasn't been on since, like, January, so I don't know what to take of that. But someone's going to have to pick this up. Especially since
I don't know if
TV
they have
recordings?
It on like FX website or not.
There's someone uploading a bunch of anime on here too. Like, there's a rip of like someone's putting up Doom Megalopolis.
Oh, like, I've seen that.
Yeah, but they're putting up like the manga entertainment. I mean, I've got some stuff I'm going to put up here eventually, but I'm just going to favor all this.
You should put up like those Korean shows.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that.
Captain of Cosmos, is that the one that you wanted to read?
Yeah, Captain of Cosmos is the Gundam knockoff one.
They're bringing Kim to the White House now. Trump invited him, and then he accepted the invitation today.
Yeah.
So, like, there will be other opportunities for us to record that. Like, we didn't record it today during the meeting, but you know, that this is like going to be an ongoing process of the Cold War ending with Korea, you know, because the Berlin Wall fell down in 88, but the Soviet Union did not disappear until like New Year's of 91/92. So, you know, North Korea, they may continue to do all these negotiations and stuff for a while and then eventually unify with South Korea. So it'll be relevant for a long time if we do Captain of Cosmos, you know.
Gotcha. All right, well, do we have anything else we want to talk about? Because I'm kind of out of stuff. I can't think of anything else.
Wait a sec. There's Peter Network stuff Dash would have shared.
Yeah, he would. He definitely would have shared.
Yeah.
All right, what do we got for Peter Network?
There were tweets that he put out. What's his username?
Some good stuff, Peter too.
SK? Yeah, they were very... hashtag I'm depraved.
Very depraved.
Here's one. 5 inches. Make of that what you will. Midget sex. Your thoughts?
What kind of question is that?
I get it. Relationships aren't easy. I've had 4 of them before I turned 40. Now, I just waste my life watching porn. I wanted to have sex with a woman. Pretty lame, huh?
What? I thought there was something else that he put out, and I was just like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. I'm sure you're going to get to it.
If there was at least one advantage to not being in a relationship, it's that I have no fear of accidentally, in quotes, knocking up my girlfriend. Last thing this world needs is me causing more chaos. Okay, the good news is I no longer feel angry, as expressed in my previous tweet. The bad news is I now feel like crap. Guess I'll masturbate.
Oh my gosh. What a way to live.
That's Peter Network.
Yeah.
Decided to live stream again. Maybe this time I'll end up with more of an audience. https://www.twitch.tv/SirPeteTheFirst, if anyone wants to follow him.
Yeah, does anyone want to take that
Minecraft
risk?
Yeah, I don't think that you want to watch. We watched one time, and he was like, he kept getting phone calls from his mom and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, we bring that up constantly.
He didn't stop the stream or anything. He just kept going like this. Yeah, like, was Mom, so... I'm streaming.
Yeah. He was all into his game, and he doesn't know how to edit anything. All right. Well,
so he's got a video on his thing of De Niro swearing at Trump. Can you hear this?
We'll turn it up.
Okay, it's not bleeps. I thought it would be bleeps, but it's not.
So we can put this in the call.
What? Why isn't it?
Well, I don't know why it isn't.
Hmm. I can't get it to,
Is it just not gonna play?
Let me try this again.
Say one thing. Fuck Trump.
Well, there you have it.
Really brave and courageous to say that in front of an entire audience that agrees with you, is clapping and cheering, 100 Hollywood liberals.
Yeah.
I'm sure he really thinks he's fighting the power here.
By acting like a jackass on TV. Good going, Punchy.
He said it again. Jeez. Yeah, that's where our country is at. That's one half
that's
of the
where
conversation.
That's where Hollywood is at.
Right. I mean, notice how they don't even have an argument. It's just pure emotional hatred, and, you know, there's just nothing there.
Can you say why you hate Trump? Well, no, just fuck Trump. No. Like, what
very
is that?
Low IQ, as he calls him, Donald Trump said about Nate De Niro. Maybe he has taken one too many punches to the head.
It must have taken a lot of brain power to try to come up with those words to cuss Trump out.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Okay, so you didn't find that video to splice in there?
I couldn't. Yeah, I can't. I don't know where that is, but I would love to try to. It's great. Maybe I can find it like on a recording somewhere.
What's the name of the candidate?
Catherine Templeton.
Okay. I'll search Catherine Templeton attack ad. See if I can find it.
Okay, maybe it's under attack ad.
New ad by Catherine Templeton attacks Governor McMaster. That's not it, is it? It's an ad attacking her, not someone else, right?
Yeah, it's an ad against her, though. That's the thing.
Catherine Templeton, you're fired. Catherine Templeton demands TV station pull campaign ad claiming she was fired. Maybe this is it. PostandCourier.com. There's an image of Donald Trump and it says Catherine Templeton fired.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. If we can just get the.
I'm going to play it.
Yes! Yes! It's on here. Crank that sucker up.
Politician Catherine Templeton. She was fired from not one, not two, but three government jobs.
You're fired.
Department of Health and Environmental Control.
Fired.
Department of Revenue.
Fired.
And then, after only 5 weeks from the State Courts Authority.
Fired.
That's less time than a bad contestant on The Apprentice. Wants to be governor? Sorry, Catherine.
Fired.
Yes, I'd.
I told you, it's a great slam piece.
Fired.
You're fired. You're fired.
She spent less time than a contestant on The Apprentice. You're fired.
No, every time that comes on TV, my brother and I just, like, crack up at it so much. Maybe this is going to be our header podcast header image, actually. I think I'm going to have it like that.
You remember that one time Vika went on the show and he's like, I don't see how you guys can find this stuff funny.
Case in point.
Going to hell. You know, it's actually very, very funny.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you need to have a sense of humor, not just be a miserable, whiny guy like him. Anyway.
It's not a problem anymore.
Yeah. He's fired. A terrible host, the worst. He's fired.
Fired. Oh. I feel like I need to archive this video and save it because I don't know when this is gonna get. Hopefully, it doesn't get
old. I didn't link to it. Did I?
I got a link to it, so we're good.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I found it. We're good.
Yeah,
everything's cool.
Yeah, I wonder if Trump like authorized that attack ad.
Oh, he probably even. I don't even know if he knows about it. Maybe he does, and he's just like, I got other things to worry about right now. So
I assume that was McMaster running the attack ad.
Probably, maybe McMaster has like rights to like use his likeness to his commercials or something. I don't know.
Trump may have told him he can use it, but I don't know. Trump is like a public figure; anybody can use clips from him. Like use clips from him in attack ads against Trump. Like in 2016, you remember all those ads where it was like Trump like saying hilarious things,
yeah,
and then like a children with like. Hands over their ears.
Oh, that was stupid, yeah.
Yeah, that crap that Hillary was trying to pull all over the TV for, like, mm-hmm. months. Mm-hmm. They were all over the place in Arizona, and I assume everywhere else, too. But it didn't work, because she still lost.
Yep. Oh, man, we're almost at... We're at an hour 51, and we're ready to shut this down.
Okay. Yeah. There's not much more to say about E3, I guess.
We moved on to E3, like, an hour ago, man.
Yeah, so I guess we're pretty much done here. Daph never showed up. Josh is at work, so it was just the two of us.
Another great year of E3 where we talked about everything but E3 for the longest amount of time because that just really shows what E3 and why do we keep doing E3 if this is how the outcome is every single time.
Next year, maybe it will be a big year. We'll see.
I'm sure next year they're going to have like consoles and stuff they're actually going to talk about or like, here's what we're working on and it's coming out in maybe next year perhaps, who knows.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have more next year.
I mean,
highlight was Smash Brothers, but other than that, yeah. I didn't really care that much.
The thing was, like, Cyberpunk is the main highlight for me, and the fact that I was hoping maybe something on Shenmue would come out, but if that's not the case, then probably next year. I don't know.
Whatever happened to that?
They're still working on it. I get updates on the Kickstarter thing that they're still working on it. So,
okay.
Basically, it's Yu Suzuki going to like game shows in like Europe to show off the game and how hard at work they are. So, I don't know like the progress of that game, but yeah, for that thing to come out in 2018, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly. So, anyways, so thank you for everyone listening to our E3 coverage once again. See you next time, whenever that episode might be. It's probably going to be cool Korean cartoons.
Right, we'll just have to find out. We're finally going to do Korea.
Yeah, I need to get that Mighty Robots episode out sometime. But
okay, yeah, you said you're going to put this one out quickly, like with no editing, right?
There's going to have to be some editing because there's some like dead quiet, air. Yeah, dead air, just like now. So
where you were searching for the ad.
Yeah, I was searching for the ad and also got like when you were talking, I was just kind of like zoning out on my spleen finding stuff. So,
looking for Archer stuff?
Just kind of seeing what I haven't been able to keep up with in like 2 or 3 weeks. So
I haven't been on there in a while either.
Yeah. No one's put out Archer stuff, but I'll just wait till like someone comes up with a major dump of like Archer episodes and just get it that way. So
next season is supposed to be the last season, and that's probably a good thing. I hope they have him wake back up.
Hopefully, yeah. All right, we're gonna cut this out. Later, guys.
Later.
Professional politician Catherine Templeton. She was fired from not one, not two, but three government jobs.
You're fired.
First from the Department of Health and Environmental Control.
Fired.
Then from the Department of Revenue.
Fired.
And then, after only 5 weeks, from the State Ports Authority.
Fired.
That's less time than a bad contestant on The Apprentice.
You're fired.
And now Catherine Templeton wants to be governor? Sorry, Catherine.
You're fired.